Welcome to the Whiskey Chasers. My name is Steve.
My name is Nick.
And I'm Chris.
And on today's episode, we have a glass of Christmas bourbon from Cleveland Whiskey. We may not be fans of regular Cleveland Whiskey, but give credit where credit is due. Their Christmas bourbon? It's great stuff. Go get a bottle for this holiday season. We talk about Cleveland's unique distilling process, Christmas spices, and then when to drink. All that and more on today's episode of Whiskey Chasers. Our website is whiskeychaserspod.com. Check us out. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Right, what are we doing there, Steve? What are we talking about?
Limited production Christmas spice-flavored bourbon whiskey from Cleveland.
From Cleveland.
Cleveland whiskey.
Christmas thing. The way Cleveland does it.
Limited right. production. They make it every limited. Year.
Well, yeah, but then they make a new one the next year.
It's still the same thing.
Is it?
It is. You can only get it around Christmas time.
You can only get it around Christmas.
Yeah. Don't they change the label?
They do. They change the label and the artwork on the front. That always changes.
Yeah. See? And it changes.
You can get it for a few months after Christmas, too, because they're trying to sell it off.
Right.
Yeah.
It's typically around like Thanksgiving. November, December is when it starts to come out.
Yeah. And that's when I really start reaching for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So for the people that don't know, we'll go into it. This is a whiskey, the foolproof whiskey, but it's flavored with all the Christmas trimmings that you could think of, holly and nutmeg and allspice. And I'm sure we'll get into how they do that. Huh?
What is holly?
It's a berry. Holly berry?
Yeah.
Not Halle Berry.
That's what that thing is there on the corner. Yeah, those things.
You don't know what a holly is?
Well, when you say spiced with holly, I don't think of a berry. When you say Halle Berry, I know what Halle Berry is.
Yeah, the female actress.
Real quick, is that a fake name? It has to be, right?
Now that I think about really it, like I wonder Christmas? If I never thought about it
Holly,
until now.
It's not Halle Berry.
It's Halle Berry. But,
it's Halle. Oh, it's Halle.
But it is close.
Yeah.
It's not Halle Berry.
It is close enough to Halle Berry that it makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Halle Berry, maybe?
Right. I feel like she
family
really
nicknames.
What would her real name be then?
I don't know.
Beatrice.
Yeah.
Beatrice Berry.
Helen? Yeah. Is it?
Helen Keller?
That'd be quite a twist.
She's like, I can't be the second famous Helen Keller. We got to come up with something else. What do you like? Well, I do like Christmas time.
Talk about a movie plot twist. There.
Right?
Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallmark, we're sending you a script now.
That's right. Hold on to your hats.
All right, so back to Cleveland here.
Yes.
So do we know, is this made the same way as other Cleveland whiskeys is? Which we'll get into kind of what that is in a second. But
I don't know. I'm assuming yes for the pure fact that I'm guessing. They don't tell you much about
guessing
this at all.
They're tight-lipped.
Yeah, they don't tell you anything about the Christmas. They'll tell you everything else. The Christmas whiskey, they don't go into detail about.
Huh.
I'm assuming, other whiskey companies, they start out with the base of their own whiskey to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then some companies will either steep the different flavors in there, the cinnamon, the allspice, they may steep it like a tea almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Others will just add in like artificial flavors to make it that way. I don't know which one they do, but I'm assuming they start out with a base whiskey of theirs to begin with.
Yeah.
Whatever they're doing, there's no sediment. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which you get with sometimes when they're doing more naturally, natural flavorings, you might get a little bit of particles in there. And this one has none of that.
Right. But then again, with Cleveland's process, their whiskey is incredibly young.
Yeah.
And so what is the age statement on normal Cleveland? Isn't it it's days, isn't
depends
it?
Depends on what bottles
that one
you
was the proprietary oxygenation process thing. Yeah. It was 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They're like, first few bottles they put out, like first couple hundred, whatever they did, years of doing it, it was like an hour, at least a day or something. It was like a short time. And then it was, at some point, it was like a month. Now they say it's 6 months. I don't know if it still says on the bottle how long it's been in there.
Okay.
The originals did.
Yeah.
They're claiming now that it's at least 6 months before they start their unique process of making it age quicker and then putting it on the shelves faster.
Yeah.
Which they claim is better.
Right. Which is a possibly debunked claim.
Possibly. Depends on who you ask.
At least by us. At least by us. But
typically not. We're not typical fans of Cleveland.
Right.
But I will say, you've not tried this.
I have never tried this.
Me and Nick get this actually every year because of what it is. And because of what this is, we do like it.
Yeah.
For what it is.
Right.
Like I said, we are not typical fans of Cleveland, but this would be something that I do usually pick up once a year.
Yeah.
And sometimes struggle to get through it. If that,
yeah,
not in a bad way. It's just a little goes a long way, which you'll see. But for what it is, it's perfect.
It's great for Christmas and holiday parties.
It is wonderful. Right. It is a holiday season beverage that you hand out to people, and they have one, and they're like, "This is great," and I'm done. Let's move on to something else.
Gotcha. Yep.
So one bottle will last you through the season.
Perfect.
Or two.
All right.
Or two. In this one's case, this one did not quite make it through last season.
Yes. Awesome. So Cleveland's normal stuff, it just means that it's very young, which means it probably is an additive, I would guess, just because the steeping process would be extra time, and they probably aren't really set up to have things sit for very long.
It makes you wonder, because this is heavily infused one way or the other. So like you said, for it to be that much Christmas forward, it's gotta be infused, because I think steeping would take a minute to get it to this point,
which might, I mean, maybe we have to try it first before we before we get into their whole process. It makes sense. Both sides would make sense of the argument once you understand their process.
When it's hard to say, but let's crack it open and you can see, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Give that a
little bit. So it smells like Christmas.
Red Hots. That's it for smells sure. like Red Hots to me. Yeah. Like the cinnamon Red Hot. Like,
yep.
Yeah, this is
very cinnamon forward.
This is like Deck the Halls in a glass.
Yep. Right?
Now, Cleveland's a very unique company. The Cleveland whiskey is very unique. They got their start in 2008, I believe. The owner considers it a whiskey tech company, not a distillery.
Right.
Because of the process.
Yeah. They go into a very unique way of doing their thing.
They do. And
very futuristic.
Yeah. It's
whether it's good or bad.
It's different.
Yeah.
That's the best way for me to put it without feeling too harsh. He even made the comment, like, people, the bourbon hunters, those that are heavy into whiskey, those that are like, purist, almost a whiskey purist, hate what he does and don't agree with it. And his response is, "That's fine. I don't really care. Like, I think what we put out is really good."
To be at that point where you're just screw those guys.
Like, that's fine. I know what I do. I enjoy what I do. I think what we do, it puts out good whiskey. Right. He made the comment that their Black Reserve bourbon has gone up against a very well-known bourbon company and several blind tastings. He would not say who. And it cracked me up because I was watching a video of it, and he made the comment, "We have won out of this blind tasting 54% of the time." I was very proud of that number.
50% of the time, it 54%. Works every time.
54% of the time.
54% of the time.
He won't say that. He would not say who.
This particular well-known good bourbon. Well, good, maybe. Right. Well-known. He said well-known.
He said well-known.
Who knows what that could be.
Yeah.
It's like the saying I always say, I'm right 100% of the time.
Right.
50% of the time, right? Right. 150. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
100, I'm 100% right 50% of the time.
Yep. And, I mean, for me, kudos to him on being like, hey, I know it's not for everybody, but I'm still going to do it. That's really awesome. And I think, and you know, good for him on doing it.
As long as you're being successful with it.
Right, exactly. Now, throwing out random stats like that is annoying.
Yeah. And it really makes me feel like you don't trust your product.
Like, that's like saying I'm confident it doesn't matter, but 54%.
Right. Yeah. And if you're if nobody knows about these, then they didn't happen. Whether they did or didn't doesn't matter. Nobody knows about it.
Exactly. Yeah,
so therefore, it's not important.
Is it made up? Is it a made up stat then? These companies, I'm not going to tell you who they were. But.
Yeah. Well,
and their whole process, they talk about this proprietary process they use, and it's pretty much the oxidization of the bourbon.
Right.
When Chris and I first saw this, we were like, this is really weird. We don't know if we agree with it. Because at first, the bottle we had was at least a month at max that it would sit in a barrel, a wooden barrel, before it would go in a vat, a metal vat, and it would pressurize to age quicker. Yeah.
Pressure, then off pressure, and pressure. Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they empty – now they claim it's 6 months for their bourbon. Before they pour it out of the barrels, out of the wooden barrels, into these metal drums, like oil drums is what they look like. And then they take chopped up staves, put them in there in like this bag, sit them in there, and then they pressurize it. So they push in oxygen, pull it out, push in to pressurize it for the cubes, the chunks of wood, mm-hmm. to try to interact with the bourbon, which is supposedly ages it quicker for them to get it out then mm-hmm. on the shelves and sell it. They also think this tastes better to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a timing production thing where they were trying to do their own stuff and not source from anyone at the time. And so this is the quickest way they could come up with. And because they've been able to push so much out that they've just always stuck with it, like as a best investment they could come up with. And for a tech company, if that's what they're going for, that fits. That's perfect. For a whiskey company, that I don't like it. I don't agree with it. It tears at my heart.
Are they doing this with all their bourbon, or was it just those specific? Oh, it is. Okay.
That's what makes me wonder if this is relatively the same process, even if they start out with their normal bourbon and they're aging it and they're through the oxidization, their proprietary mm-hmm. method. Are they putting in the natural ingredients and then throwing it in here for it to pressurize and oxidize to pull out a ton of flavor or whatever yeah. you can out of it and then pull it out?
That actually makes more sense to me now. I think they probably do steep it and essentially pressure cook
it. It would pressure cook it in a short amount of time.
If you're using cinnamon, allspice, things like that, you're going to be able to pressure is going to extract all that stuff a lot faster. Whereas wood, doing it with like the staves, you're probably not getting a ton of oak in it.
Right.
I get that they want stuff to be, certain level of aged, you know what I mean? But I mean, we've had stuff that's been, 2 years max and been good. You know what I mean? We've had this Cleveland, not this one, but other Cleveland with this fancy pressurization method. And we didn't like it. I mean, it turned our stomachs. Oh, so yeah.
For days.
Me personally, I would just rather you age it for a short amount of time mm-hmm. than to do something like this. Me personally. I mean, and then even Journeyman, we talked to them about how they were aging stuff in smaller barrels because it was aging quicker. That's another way of getting around it. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more work.
Yeah, I don't think their purpose was to do this for a short period and then move on. I think their purpose was to do this.
Right. And if that was the case, I would applaud you. I'd have more respect for you because similar to the Journeyman, the style that the Kovals out there, the ones that are saying we don't want to source, we want to take our own, make our own, and always do what we do.
Right.
And it's going to take a process and we're going to take a risk and see if it works while we've got stuff aging at the same time.
Yeah.
Like that, I would have a whole lot more respect for.
But to just say, this is what we're doing, that's it, and we're done.
I would look at it a little bit different in that I don't think they are saying that this is what we're doing and we're done, because we just talked about how when it started out, there was like a month. Now we're up to like 6 months. So it sounds like they are altering their process in order to try to change some stuff. But
if that's what they're doing, that's fine.
Yeah. And it sounds like to me, they're trying to reinvent the wheel. Yep. It's really what it is.
Well, and that's my problem with it.
It's just, they're coming up with a different process that takes a lot less space and
see, it location. Comes across to me as a corner cut. Cause we all know what has to go in to make good bourbon. Okay. Or good whiskey. We know like that's not something you can reinvent really. Tried and true, tested over time. These are the components that need to go in to make at least a good bourbon or a good whiskey or a decent one at least. So for me, being a bourbon guy, into the craftsmanship of everything that goes into it, I see it as a corner cut. Mm-hmm. They might see it as an innovation. And maybe that's why he was like, I don't care about these, diehard bourbon guys. But for me, it feels cheap when you do something like that.
And actually, I would agree with that. I think what they're doing is they're almost going in reverse of what most things are. Like when we talk about grandma and grandpa and our mom and dad and their and beer, like they all drank one beer and that's what they had and that was it. Right. Or whiskey, same thing.
One type, you mean.
One type and that was the end. Yeah. And now we've gone to the craft world where you try a whole bunch of new things and everything else. But those old school brands. Beer is a better example than whiskey to me. Budweiser, but you know, everyone drinks Bud. It's not because it's great. It's just because that's what you drink.
Right.
And it's cheap and easy. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I think they're going with. Right. I think they're going for a production route, not a craftsmanship.
Exactly.
Route.
Which I makes think sense it's
for the Cleveland area.
Yeah.
I'm exactly. not going to sound like a jerk and saying that, but like, no. that fits the it's Cleveland area. It's a
working
area.
Class yeah. area. Right. That's what they do. And so I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. I do think that we are not their market.
I think it's the IKEA version yes. of bourbon. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even people that buy IKEA and have IKEA in their house, it's fine for what it is. But they will still be like, this is crap compared yeah. to like what my grandparents had. Mm-hmm. And with something that was made by hand, you know, that's why that stuff gets passed down. Like, oh, this is my great grandma's dresser and it's still like solid and amazing. You don't pass down IKEA. Okay. Like
you pass down a gift card like, to go get yourself yeah. something.
You'll use it for what it is. And when it breaks, you're like, okay, whatever. But like, even people that buy IKEA are like, yeah, like good furniture is good furniture, mm-hmm. period.
Yeah.
And I'll go on a limb in this argument. I stay true to this thought process. Steven might not like this. You might not either. We talked about previous episodes about bottling the bond. Is it still relevant? Should it still stick around? Listening and reading about their proprietary process that they use, I cringe because it feels like we're now going backwards and dealing with people trying to create things that can sell faster, which turns into this rot gut idea, this rot gut whiskey yeah. that really turns a lot of stomachs, that really doesn't do anything good, but people are looking to make a profit, a quick turnaround profit right. for it, not caring what happens. And it's been, like Chris has talked about, it's been tried and true that the ways the bourbon's been made, the way that the process, it produces a higher quality that doesn't get the same effect.
Right.
And I feel, I cringe because I feel like while they're trying to, in their minds, reinvent and take a step, a leap into the future.
They're taking
and
try a to step figure, back.
I feel like they're taking a step back at the same time. Yeah. And there's no reason to reinvent this. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel with this.
Right.
It opens up the doors for the possibilities of going backwards right. instead of going forwards.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, actually. I think it's almost like we are turning back into the, like, I'm just trying to get product out there that's right. decent and people don't know the difference or what. And I only say that because we've had Cleveland in the past. We've talked about it. People in our club know. and, like, it actually, like, first time ever in my life, like did not like go over well in my stomach. Like, and it wasn't because we had a lot of it.
No,
it was because it literally turned our stomachs for like 2 days.
Bad.
It was just not a good after effect. Yeah. So yeah, you talk about like rock gut whiskey. I'm not saying this is in that same vein, but like, are we more focused on getting something that's passable without thinking about like, is this still going to be good for the consumer? Right. Or are we focused on just getting something out there
right.
that's passable?
Because it can pass as bourbon. Technically, mm-hmm. it could pass as bourbon being finished a different way.
Right. If they do 51% corn, right. put it in a new barrel for at least a short amount of time. It could be
as bourbon. But the reality for me, I look at it at, like you mentioned, the hardcore, the whiskey purists are, hate this product.
Right.
And that's mainly why I struggle with it. Because I don't know that I can consider it bourbon and sleep at night.
No.
Like, I struggle with that idea.
Well, and that's why, you know, it's great for what it is.
Yeah. I would say on that vein that I think you're right. I think everything you've said so far is correct. But so you agree also,
we do need Bottled and Bond to stick around?
Oh, yeah. I do. I did before.
Now he's like, well, I always did that.
Yeah, this isn't a new thing.
How dare you put words in my mouth?
However, this doesn't scare me. Like, I'm not worried about more Cleveland showing up because they're not.
Right.
Cleveland's been around since you said 2008. Nobody's copying this process.
No.
And so... And there are people kind of doing some new things and changing some stuff up, but it doesn't sacrifice usually quality. It does usually change it
right.
and alters it, but doesn't usually sacrifice quality. In this case, all of our opinions is that it does, and mm-hmm. it's not a good thing.
Right.
But since they're not franchising and nobody else is copying it, they don't
until you start seeing a trend of something going this way.
I'm not worried about. But I also will say with this drink, this particular bottle, it's much better than original Cleveland.
Right.
Well, all those flavors are going in there, and that's what you're picking up more so than the bourbon that's in there or the whiskey that's in there.
And I think that their process is probably fantastic for flavorings.
Right. Yeah. I was about to say that.
Or for doing infusings. If they're doing that's a great ad.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Because it is in there in such a way that it really doesn't have any big bumps, like any jolts, like a flavor. It's just incorporated well into this. I will say that. However they're doing it, this is very much like what you would expect a Christmas whiskey to taste like.
This is Christmas Eve. Like this is this is what I think of for Christmas Eve. The again, that taste, that smell of the seasonal allspice and your traditional smell. I don't know how to describe
it. I mean, to go into the flavor for the people that haven't tried this and they want to know. It's, if you can imagine, it is just a kind of basic tasting. Have we decided, is this a whiskey or a bourbon?
It's a whiskey.
Is it whiskey? Okay. Mm-hmm. But it has those bourbon flavors.
Oh no. It does say bourbon.
It does say bourbon. Okay.
Yeah.
But what you get, it's got the just regular bourbon flavor, but what you get with this is the nutmeg, like a heavy amount of nutmeg, and allspice. And then, like, again, I've never eaten holly berry, so I don't know, but I've smelled it. And if you could imagine what holly berry smells like and imagine what that would taste like, that's what I'm getting in this glass. It's almost the smell of Christmas, which is so pungent sometimes. Yeah. Like when you walk into those stores around Christmas time and they have all that, even the fake stuff and the scented stuff, and you smell it, it's almost such a strong smell that you can taste it. That's what this is.
Yeah.
It's like it's got that taste almost artificially, almost. Mm-hmm. Yep. Not quite.
Yeah. I get a lot of cherry and cinnamon. Cherry and cinnamon are, I think, the top flavors I taste.
But not overly cinnamon. It's not like.
No. I think, and honestly, what I'm tasting as cinnamon, I think, is a mixture of the cherry and the nutmeg.
Right.
And I think that combination is creating a cinnamon for me.
Agreed. Yeah. the baking spices.
Yeah.
But not like how we talk about with other bourbons where we're like, okay, we pick up baking spice. This is like way in your face.
No, this is like not taking a bite of a pie.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is not like a little hints of that. I'm not getting little hints of this. These are like massive, like 100% doses of these baking spices.
Yeah. For me, the whiskey is the background.
Yeah.
It's the spices, the cherry, the baking spices, all that stuff is the forefront.
Right.
And the whiskey is kind of in the background. Mm-hmm. Which we've had other ones like that before where we've talked about that and it was in a very negative way.
Right.
But for this, I think it's really good.
It's what you want.
Yeah, exactly. It's what you want for the season and the time.
Yeah.
If you're talking to people who don't drink whiskey, they don't normally go after whiskey, and you want to go to a party, a Christmas party, holiday party, and you bring this, they're still going to drink it and be fine with it. They're not going to drink and go, oh gosh, this is
You're not going to want more than one.
Right. They're not going to want more than one, but it's going to set them in the mood for Christmas, but not turn them off and be like, this reminds me of whiskey. This is whiskey. Because it doesn't drink like a whiskey.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not what you have it for. Yeah. It's definitely something to be shared around a gathering for either Thanksgiving, late Thanksgiving, Christmas. And for everybody to be like, man, this is good. This is warming us up. This is getting us ready to go out and carol, kind of a thing. Yeah. Like if you were invited to go to Santa Claus's house right in the North Pole and you sat down by the fire and, Santa Claus is like, hey, I'll be there in a minute. Let me grab my pipe. And Mrs. Claus came over and was like, here you go. I got you a cocktail. And this is what she would pour you. I mean, this is what you would expect to drink in his house, right? Mm-hmm. With the reindeer outside. I mean, that's what I feel like, you know what I mean? Sitting by the fire, it's cozy, it's warm. It is Christmas. I mean, this is like reindeer's blood, right?
Yes.
This is what they bleed. So I don't know. It is good for what it is. It's got a lot of those flavors that you expect around Christmas time. You would never want to have something like this in July.
No. Not at all. No. And as much as I have harped on Cleveland, how they their process and how they function and produce their normal stuff, this that should not be a turnoff to try this at least.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because this is so night and day different from any other product they put out there. Like it is a one-off, like you said, limited release, what they put on there. It is special to them. It is unique right. to them. Right. And even the flavor is not their normal stuff. It tastes
when you can't like get. It. I mean, you can get stuff that's kind of in the same vein around Christmas time, but it's not this. Right. Yeah. Like we've said, you can tell that me and Nick aren't huge Cleveland people. However, we still buy this every year. That should say something, right? Mm-hmm. We still like to bring this to the family Christmas get together and pass it around. And it's always usually gone. If not, it's close. People like to have one glass of it or something right. alongside eggnog or whatever. It's just perfect. Yep. It's like you said, it's like you're eating Christmas pie. Yep. I mean, it's literally drinking Christmas is what it's yep. like with these. And they've nailed it. Like as far as the flavors, the combinations that they put in here, I wouldn't say it's too this, you know, too cinnamon forward. It's too nutmeg forward. It's all perfectly well balanced in there to make you think like this is like something I drink under the mistletoe mm-hmm. kind of a thing.
Yeah, this would be a great drink for me. This is not a tradition that I hold, but I think a lot of people do that. I've heard people talk about opening one present on New Year's on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And then Christmas Day is when everything else is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it? Do you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to me, this would be like a perfect drink with that one present on Christmas Eve. And then as your, apologies to anybody, any parents out there. If there's any children around, take a moment. When you're pretending to be Santa Claus.
I have a hard time believing there's kids listening, but maybe.
Yeah, I would hope not, actually, a little bit.
Could be on the background.
Yeah, know. That's right. But after you're done doing all that and setting that up and you need to sit and rest before going to bed, like this is the drink to have right. to sit and think about.
Right. You know, it's time. Like now it was Christmas Day, but mm-hmm. it was like the Christmas story.
Yeah.
Right at the end, the kids are like sleeping and the dad sitting on the couch with the mom and I think he's holding on to his blue ball still.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting looking at the tree and they're drinking. Yeah, that's that moment. Yep. You know what I mean? Like that's yeah. To have one nice glass. And one glass will take you a minute. Like you don't drink this quick. This is
it's a pretty strong flavor.
Sipper, yeah, because mm-hmm. it's just almost cloyingly Christmas. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not bad because of what it is. But it's not something you would expect to get, you're trying to get a few drinks in at a party. You're not going to reach for this over and over again. You're going to have one and be, okay, let's move on to something else.
Right.
I bet it'd be good in some sort of cocktail actually too.
I was just thinking about that. Like trying to make nutmeg with, or not nutmeg. Eggnog with
it. You could. Yeah, you could.
And I think that
you wouldn't have to flavor the eggnog at all.
No.
If you were to do any sort of other cocktail with it, you really don't have to do much because it's already got so much going on. Honestly, if you're into ice, like this would probably be a good one with that to make it kind of a cocktail just by adding ice. Kind of, it almost has those same aspects of. I'm thinking of Watershed specifically right now, but Watershed does a foolproof old fashioned. And most of the time when you see companies do that, it's not foolproofed, right? It's like a 40% or, proof or 60 proof. It's not like 80 proof. It's not 40% alcohol. And it's made to kind of mix with something else or to drink on its own. You know what I mean? That's like this. But this is foolproof, which is awesome. So it's almost a cocktail already.
As it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked a few times about the perfect time for this, and we've mentioned our pipes since we're all pipe smokers. What is your Christmas pipe?
The
tobacco
that I would smoke for Christmas time.
Or is there any specialty ones that come out?
There are. So Cornell and Deal is I've talked about them before many times. They're kind of like the end all be all in my opinion, especially for pipe tobacco right now. Especially now McClellan's out because McClellan also did different Christmas blends as well. And there's other companies that do it, but Cornell and Deal is just a big player right now and they do stuff so well. But they do come out with like a We Three Kings kind of Christmas time blend. It's something different every year. They do, I think, like a corn cob pipe and a button nose. And I think they do like a Jolly Old Saint Nick or something like that, a Santa Claus one. So they do a few variations. And it's something different. It's cool because it's something a little bit different every year. And those are, again, something very much like this. You would not smoke all the time. You smoke it, people smell it, and they're like, holy cow. You know, this is what Santa Claus would smoke on his sleigh kind of a thing. This is, I mean, it almost would be like having Christmas potpourri without having to have it. Like, yeah. If you would smoke that at a party, people would probably really enjoy it. Yeah. All of those blends, and they're full of nutmeg and cinnamon and allspice and all those, very similar to kind of how this tastes is how that smokes. Mm-hmm.
Are those the flavors you generally get on those as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You, and again, with aromatics, you don't taste as much as you smell. But Cornell and Deal does such a great job with their aromatics, with the way that they do them, that it does incorporate that into the taste a little bit, and definitely into the smell, but also into the taste a little bit. You pick up on some of that, brown sugar and pie and cookies and kind of stuff. You'll pick up on some of that stuff with the tobacco flavor.
Now, if you were to try to pair those and this, would that be too much? Or would you want to do something else with one or the other?
I don't think so. I actually think that they would play well together. And only because, like, again, you don't get a ton of taste off the tobacco. If you tasted everything you smelt off that tobacco, yeah, I wouldn't. I'd be overload. But you don't. So I think that for a little bit that you get from the tobacco would enhance the this Christmas bourbon. Also, the Christmas bourbon, I think, would influence the tobacco and almost trick you into thinking, like, I am tasting what I'm smoking a little bit more than you normally do, which is great, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody that smokes aromatics, that's what you're going for. Like, if I could taste what it smells like, because a lot of times you don't get that. Like, no. Oh, you smoke a cherry blend, and you're like, people are like, God, that smells amazing. Yeah, but it tastes kind of like crap. Just, you know, not even like regular good smoke. It's just kind of, and it'll smoke hot and everything. It's just very basic. But if you could taste, and there's some out there like cherry blends that you can taste a little bit more cherry, but if you could taste as much as it smells, what an experience that would be. That'd be cool. So I think this would actually trick you into thinking like, yeah, I'm smoking something amazing for Christmas time and I'm tasting all of it, where you would be tasting some of it, but maybe this would enhance that a little bit. So I think that would go well together. Typically I don't, around the Christmas season, it's kind of like, you know, it's when you get that scotch season, you start picking up stuff that's a little bit heavier in the smoke and just heavier drinks or anything else. Tobacco for me is the same way. I start getting way more into, like, even Balkans are starting to phase out a little bit. I'm getting the straight Latakia blends, heavy English blends, things like that, because it's that cold, damp time. So that's typically what I start smoking around that Christmas season. But I usually do get, you know, the one-off, I'll pick up one of the seasonal tens and smoke it, especially around, if I'm around family and I'm smoking and stuff, campfire or not campfire, up house fire going, like a fire in your chimney going, stockings are up, you smoke that and people won't even mind. It smells so good. Just smells like Christmas. So if you're into smoking pipes, definitely look into getting a seasonal, at least 110. It'll get you through the season and it's good. Especially Cornell and Deal, they do a good job with that stuff. I think it would do well with this. I do think it would. I don't think it would. Have you ever tried any?
I've never tried any of the seasonal ones, mainly because I got so bad tongue bite at the beginning of my smoking journey that I've stayed away from all of the
aromatics.
Yeah. But it might be worth it to go back now that I've kind of learned how to smoke better. So right. I'm not sucking so hard on it that I'm
well. Most of your aromatics problem too people have with aromatics is most of the time they're cheaper. So it's worse quality leaf. And then there's two different ways that you can do an air. Well, there's a few other ways you can do aromatics too. And Cornell and Deal does that with their process. They do other ways to incorporate the flavors in there. But most cheap aromatics, what they do is there's you top it or you case it. So topping is like they will spray stuff in there,
right?
Flavoring. It's basically sugar and stuff. And the sugar combined with the poor leaf will just make for a hot smoke. All the sugars burn, becomes heat, tongue bite. Cornell and Deal doesn't really do that. They will do a little bit more casing. They'll put it doesn't come out super gloopy, super wet. So the drier it is, the better. And they will, they have a way of incorporating these flavors into their aromatics without it becoming wet, where it's hard to smoke and it gives you tongue bite. And they're high quality leaf. Again, gives you a lot more backbone. You actually taste a lot more flavor and everything else. So if you haven't, we'll have to pick up a tin, yeah, and you can try it and see what you think. But
yep,
you'll be surprised how much less tongue bite you get from a high-end company like Cornell & Deal with,
yeah,
an aromatic. They do a good job with it.
Yeah, I will definitely have to check that out then,
yeah,
around this time. Because, yeah, I'm willing to try it again. Like I said, I've kind of learned how to smoke a little bit better.
Yeah, than, your piping cadence probably slowed down a bit.
Exactly. You don't
puff it like a freight train,
and, yep,
which can also lead to tongue bite. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, good. So we got a pipe and a bottle.
Pipe and a bottle.
For the, all for Christmas. For the Christmas
season. For the holiday,
yeah,
season.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the proof on this before we...
It's 86.
Okay. So it's a little bit on the...
It's got a little bit of something to it.
It's lower, but it's, yeah, still high enough to be
bourbon. Yeah.
The thing is, like, I think without those flavors, you would get that young,
yeah,
bitey, yes, kind of, you know, experience. And I honestly think it's just the flavors that are holding it together where you don't get that.
Right.
Whether it's masking it or whatever it's doing. It doesn't have any sort of bite to it. It's, mm-hmm, not ethanol. It's not young tasting. It just tastes like Christmas in a bottle.
Yep.
Which is great.
I mean,
again, so for what they're doing and for the price they're selling it at for this specific bottle, it is very good for what it is. Mm-hmm.
We keep going, what is the price?
That. I think it's like 35.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
okay,
it's dead, yeah, well under. Yeah. It's,
mm-hmm, if it's, unless it's gone up.
Right. It's still well under 50, yeah, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming this is available in Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll, yeah, see it, oh, on the, yeah, shelves, mm-hmm, once, honestly, once.
They'll probably have like a showcase for it, like a, one of those, like,
yeah,
in encasements, like the, mm-hmm, aisle, yeah, encasement. The
in caps.
Yeah, yeah, the in caps. They'll probably have their own.
If it's not before Thanksgiving, definitely after. Yep. You will, yeah, see it.
And we didn't talk about the look of this bottle at all, but it, I mean, it looks like Cleveland's bottle. It's just kind of, yep, tall. It's a tall
wine glass, wine bottle.
You, yeah, can't miss. Well, their Christmas ones, you cannot miss. Because, yeah, like I said, they're all different art-wise on the front, but they all are, they scream Christmas.
Yeah,
all
it's red and green.
Yeah, yeah, red, yeah, and green. And I do like it. There's a...
this one's a building, right?
Yeah, there's a building here on the front. I'm assuming it's probably in Cleveland. Yeah.
Last year was a Christmas, sure, tree that they had.
Okay.
On it, and it looked like nighttime.
And it is kind of like wrapped, yeah, in bulbs, and there's a tree on the top and, yeah, holly and
holly berries.
A couple of buildings wrapped as presents around the bottom. And so it is, it's a really nice production. Like it yeah, looks really good in terms of just,
yeah, appearance. There's really nothing more they can do with the bottle. Honestly, I, no, think, no, that looks fantastic.
They take a lot of pride in this bottle.
Yep.
Like in the Christmas bourbon bottling, like I said, they change the artwork every year. They take a lot of pride in that, which is good. It makes it stand out, and I think it's worth taking. As again, as much as I harp on the company itself, I think this bottle is worth taking pride in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that they know that, like, this is going to be a big seller every year, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So they put a little bit of work into it, and that's great for them. I mean, at least they know that they have one bottle that people do go out specifically and get. Mm-hmm. Like I said, me and Nick every year have to get one. Whether we each get one.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. But we usually at least get one between the two of us. Then we bring, yeah, it over. So I have at least a glass of this every year. And it's, I don't know, it's almost becoming like tradition, a tradition.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think whether that's something they were going for or not, they're hitting it. You know what I mean? They're hitting that mark. So I think they're doing a good job with this. I hope they keep making it. If they can improve upon it, I don't know if they can, because this is pretty good for what it is.
Yeah.
But if they can improve upon it, hopefully they do.
Right.
I would hate to see them change it and make it worse, because you definitely can mess up bottles like this, right?
Oh, yeah.
We've had bottles that were trying to be, you know, holiday seasonal bottles, and they just didn't hit the mark. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this is something that I look forward to every year.
Yeah,
I would say. Yeah, really gets you in the mood for, yeah, for Christmas. Yes.
All right. Well, great. Well, let's go ahead and have some for Christmas then, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Perfect. All right.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and also give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever it is you listen. We're also on Facebook at Whiskey Chasers.
We also have an email, so if you have any suggestions as far as bottles or anything you'd like us to review, please send us an email. It's going to be at whiskeychaserclub@gmail.com. So again, that's going to be whiskeychaserclub@gmail.com.